Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Hey, Anya, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Good. After a weird weather respite, we're back plunged into the teens, I guess, tonight. So stay warm out there. Check on your neighbors. Check on people in your community. Make sure everybody's got the heat that they need. And if not, give your county a call. Anywhere in the state, usually they've got warming centers that are open now. But please take care of each other out there, especially as we approach, this big holiday stretch. We've been celebrating Hanukkah. I'm going to spend all day on Wednesday, I think, talking about what really is the holiday spirit. That'll be my last show before the New Year break. Anya may be doing some guesting.
I might.
You're going to want to tune in so you don't miss Miss Anya. But yeah, we're going to spend Wednesday talking about that. I've read a couple of things lately that really resonated with me, and I thought, put some light on what hopefully the holidays are really all about. So that's going to be on Wednesday of this week. Today, we've got Damian Buckman of the Ability Center coming in to talk about Moss Universal Park, which I detailed just after Thanksgiving. But super excited to have Damian joining us today here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm coming to you live from the WA of the U of the K, the downtown Waukesha studio. But hello to the entirety of the state of Wisconsin. Don't forget, you can take me and the entire lineup of Civic Media's radio talent with you over the holidays by going to get the app. It can be a little bright spot of rationality and news breakdowns for you in sometimes what can be a little bit of a trying time with the old family and extended family. Today, I want to start. We're going to probably listen to the sound right away, Anya. Unless you've been living under a boulder, you've probably heard that a pretty prominent Trump-adjacent Republican family is basically mired in an incredible scandal right now. This is a woman by the name of Bridget Ziegler and her husband. Bridget was a co-founder of Moms for Liberty, which the Southern Poverty Law Group has labeled in 2022, had already labeled it as an anti-government extremist group. Her husband was the chair of the Republican Party in the state of Florida. And if you're not familiar with Moms for Liberty, these are the folks that opposed masking requirements in public schools. These are the folks that seek to ban books, seek to, remove the idea that schools should be safe places for all kids, no matter what their religious background. In short, what they seek to do is impose their religious beliefs in public schools. One of the interesting facts, and we're going to get into this today, is that, for example, Ms. Ziegler, her kids don't go to public schools. A vast number of people affiliated with these groups or leading these groups don't go to public. The kids don't go to public schools. It's bizarre. You've seen now in different circumstances, in different locations, Moms for Liberty chapters showing up in places that are not the location of their chapter. So like if we were talking about Milwaukee County and Milwaukee Public Schools, not only do their kids not attend any public school, they're not from Milwaukee. They're not from Milwaukee County. They have nothing to do with it. They don't pay taxes here. It's strange. And the scandals involving the Zieglers, and they've taken pictures with presidential candidate Ron DeSantis, Donald Trump. Donald Trump has shouted out the Zieglers and Moms for Liberty. Very, very well-connected folks. By the way, Ms. Ziegler, also a current Sarasota County School Board member. Well, about a week and a half ago, it broke that the Zieglers were involved in a up until the allegation, consensual relationship with a third person. In other words, they would have creative sexual encounters with a third party. So as the parlance of our times, a three-way. And the woman that was involved in what was at first a consensual encounter then filed charges that Mr. Ziegler raped her. And that's the word that is used in the criminal complaint and the police report. I pulled it. Nearly all of it is redacted. It's just blocks of blacked out redactions, except for words like sexual assault and rape. That's what appears in that. So those aren't my words. That is what was in the police report and the criminal complaint. Those allegations haven't been proven through his attorney. Mr. Ziegler has denied the rape allegation. But his wife and he have confirmed that indeed they had a sexual relationship with this third party, this other woman. Which is rich coming from people that ban books because they, under their religious doctrine, don't think they're okay books. They don't have any educational degrees, no educational expertise, not early childhood, not middle childhood, not teenager, not college. They have no expertise at all. They just want to impose their religious beliefs on other people, which again, they have cloaked in all kinds of benign sounding phrases, right? But when it comes down to it, it's simply the use of political leverage and power to otherize people, to exclude people, to make public schools unsafe or less safe for certain students and teachers and administrators that don't subscribe to their particular religious beliefs, which, interesting enough to note, of course, they don't either, because their behavior says otherwise. So a young man who used to attend Pine View School in Florida, which was in the Sarasota County School District, got up at the Sarasota County School Board meeting that convened just this past week, which voted 4-1 to call for Bridget Ziegler's resignation, non-binding resolution. So they didn't force her out, but they said, you should resign, vote a 4-1. And at that meeting, public comment was taken. And this student, who Ms. Ziegler in the past had tweeted about and had basically sort of incited hate tweets back at a then current student in a school district that she sat on the school board of. I mean, think of that. Whatever your beliefs, you don't call out students by name and invite hate groups to troll them while sitting on the school board that governs the school that the student attends. I mean, forget the school board part. Don't do that to kids, period. This young man got up at this school board meeting where they were considering this resolution to ask for her resignation and had this to say.
Bridget, our first ever interaction was when you retweeted a hate article about me from The Nationalist while I was a Sarasota County school student. You are a reminder that some people view politics as a service to others, while some view it as an opportunity for themselves. On this board, you have spent public funds that could have been used to increase teacher pay, to change our district lines for political gain, remove books from schools, target trans and queer children, erase Black history, and elevate your political career, all while sending your children to private schools because you do not believe in the public school system that you've been leading. My question is, why doesn't an elected official using our money to harm our students and our teachers for her gain seem to matter as much to us as her having a threesome does? Bridget Ziegler, you do not deserve to be on the Sarasota County School Board, but you do not deserve to be removed from it for having a threesome. That defeats the lesson we've been trying to teach you, which is that a politician's job is to serve their community, not to police personal lives. So, to be extra clear, Bridget, you deserve to be fired from your job because you are terrible at your job, not because you had sex with a woman.
Yeah, that, what he said. Repeat ad nauseum. That is precisely the point. He has explained what I sometimes term performative politics, which you're engaging in the use of political leverage and power not to make things better for the people that you claim to serve, or in this case, who pay your salary, Bridget. You use political leverage and power to increase your own profile, to line your own pockets. You use performative politics to otherize, to exclude, simply power for power's sake, to elevate yourself. That is the antithesis of public service. And Mr. Xander Moritz, that's the young man who spoke, said it perfectly. You have put your personal interests ahead of the overall wellness of students in the school district, and that's why you should lose your job. Indeed. But I also think it's important to understand some of the other meta context that's been going on with Moms for Liberty, as well as what I'm going to call religious hypocrisy. And again, this is my big problem. All the book banning, just 400 books just asked to be pulled from Waukesha Public Schools, 400 of them. The imposition of one's own religious beliefs on others, and that this is not being done out of some sincerely held belief in many cases. It's being done simply to amass political power, and to do that by separating us, by creating divisions and separations that simply don't exist. I'm Maggie Dawn. Come right back after these important messages. I'm going to dig in deeper here on The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you want to put your two cents in, please do call us, 844-967-2789. I want to know, what's your favorite, most sexual, hypocritical thing that you've heard most recently?
Yeah. I need a drink. Whiskey and my thing. I guess it's all good. I can handle things like I wish that you would. You've been out of reach. Could you explain? I think that you should.
What could you explain? No, I really don't think you could. I gotta disagree here. The hypocrisy. Religious hypocrisy. Rules for you, but not rules for me, because I say so. Call me. Tell me what your example of this is, because there are not enough hours in a day for me to pull up all of the examples of this. 844-967-2789. Yes, it exists on the Democratic side. Of course it does. Have Democrats engaged in abusive sexual behavior, harassment? Yeah. Do I think Bill Clinton is probably nearly certainly a rapist? Yes, I do. But guess what Democrats aren't doing? Running around saying that their sexual politics should define everybody else's sexual politics. Xander Moritz not only showed up at this meeting to articulate an absolute mic drop takedown of Bridget Ziegler, he also demonstrated similar verbal aplomb when he gave a speech at his graduation. He was the first out gay class president at the Pineview School. He was the youngest plaintiff in a lawsuit filed by various LGBTQ plus rights groups against the Don't Say Gay law in Florida, which, of course, Ms. Ziegler helped lead the charge with Ron DeSantis to get passed. And he was warned before he gave the speech that he can't reference his gayness because, you know, don't say gay, because that makes it not exist. So when he gave his speech, he used curly hair as a stand-in for his gayness. I used to hate my curls. I spent mornings and nights embarrassed of them, trying desperately to straighten this part of who I am. But the daily damage of trying to fix myself became too much. He then thanked his teachers who helped him embrace his truth, adding that there are going to be so many kids with curly hair in the future who need that support. How stupid. I mean, can we just call stupid? Like, don't say gay. That has to be a thing. You can't talk about race in classrooms, even though kids are being treated differently. You ban books, yes, but kids still have phones and the internet. None of this makes any sense. It's stupid. It's silly. It's a waste. It's a distraction. Because I guarantee you, in your family, in your neighborhood, in your church, mosque, or synagogue, in your chosen place of worship, there are gay folks. And you love and care about them, because that's what we do in Wisconsin. We care about our communities. We care about our families. We care about our neighbors and our coworkers. And we care about our kids. We don't deny reality to our children. We help them live in it by understanding that there are people with different beliefs. Steven from Green Bay, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show.
Hey, Maggie Dawn. I think you said that perfectly, but I will point out that I think the Republicans, that this is exactly what they want. They want a distraction to distract people away from the fact that they don't really have a plan to do anything positive if they get in. And just keep it local to the state of Wisconsin. I mean, the Republicans have had hold on the legislature for how long, and look where that's gotten us. And they're using hate and spewing hate and hoping people will hold on to that and pay attention to that and not pay attention to the stuff they're doing in the background. Well, you know, why the cat's away, the mice will play. And they're trying to use their rhetoric to bait the cat away so the mice can play behind the background.
100% couldn't agree with you more. Doing things like not funding childcare subsidies so that us middle class folks who have kids that need to access daycare can't do so affordably, right? That's what they're busy doing. They're busy wasting taxpayer dollars arguing about DEI programs. Just build the engineering building, gosh darn it. Quit distracting us with this. Anytime you hear somebody start talking about the woke mob, I'm sorry, who is that exactly? There's no one out there doing that. It is a distraction. It's let's not have a living minimum wage, which we can simply calculate. It's let's not fix our tax code so that it works for the majority of us that are here in the middle class. That's what it's distracting us from. It's distracting us from good and fair housing at affordable prices. It's not an estate tax. It's a death tax because we all die. No, it's still an estate tax and only applies to people with $5 million more of basically liquid assets at their death, which isn't most of us. That's what they're doing. It's all a distraction. Joanne from Madison, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. Hello, friend.
Hi. What I am still amazed at, and I try to figure out in my idle moments, is why Marjorie Taylor Greene, MTG, displayed nude photos of Hunter Biden during a formal House proceedings. Now, I can't understand that. I mean, if we are indeed ourselves modest and we are appalled by those things, we could talk about them, but displaying them? MTG has something going on that is in sync with those Republican tendencies that you've been so ably outlining. Thanks so much for doing this. I'm glad I haven't run into some of those examples that you've been outlining, but I'm sure we will in the months to come.
Well, thanks so much, Joanne. That's precisely the point, right? Like on the floor of Congress on C-SPAN, you're like, oh, here, you know, it's gratuitous. It's done to shame. Silliness. If you have a favorite moment of especially sexual hypocrisy from the GOP, give us a call. I'm bringing on Damian Buckman to talk about the Moss Universal Park after our next set of important messages. But I will keep you on the line. We will spend the entire last segment talking about that because it's incredible. Now, The Florida GOP, every single Republican elected official in the state of Florida has called on Ms. Ziegler's husband to resign from his chairmanship of the Florida GOP. He and his wife could just resign, go quietly. They're not doing that. They're not stepping down. So all the Florida GOP could do at its last meeting was censure him, reduce his lucrative salary to a dollar, strip him of all authority to act on behalf of the party, deny reimbursement to him for certain claimed expenses, and appoint an investigative committee. And he's still not stepping down? Have you no shame? No, I have no shame. It goes on and on. How about this? A Republican pastor, this is November 30th, I believe in the Daily Beast, a Republican pastor who coordinates the faith-based outreach for the Philadelphia chapter of Moms for Liberty, so a different Moms for Liberty chapter, this one in Philly, came out, newsflash, was convicted a decade ago of sexually abusing a teenage boy. This is the guy that's doing the faith-based outreach for Moms for Liberty in Philadelphia. What? And I haven't even gotten to the Nazi quotes yet. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Damian Buckman of the Ability Center, and we're going to talk about Moss Universal Park and what a wonderful opportunity that is. You're going to want to keep it locked here on The Maggie Dawn Show. WAUK. Welcome, everybody. I am Maggie Dawn here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us, 844-967-2789. So excited to have a new guest on with me for this hour of the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm joined by Damian Buckman, the Executive Director of the Ability Center of Wisconsin. Welcome, Damian. Say hi to the entirety of Wisconsin.
Hello, Wisconsin and Maggie. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
I heard you on a different radio station about a month ago, and I was so compelled by the story, not just of Moss Universal Park, but your story and the story of the Ability Center. And yeah. I wanted to have all of the Civic Media listeners get a chance to hear from you. So let's start with the basics.
Sure.
What's the Ability Center? Tell us all about it. Yeah. And its purposes.
So I founded the Ability Center in 2008. And at its core, we help people with disabilities play together with those they love most. So what I like to say is our programs, our opportunities are not places where you drop off Timmy, Tommy, Sarah, or Sue. These are places where you play together with Timmy, Tommy, Sarah, and Sue. We don't try to focus on disability hour. We try to focus on everybody hour in everything that we do. So it's a lot of health, fitness, play, sports, but all non-competitive and often in a really friendly environment. And ideally, our goal is in your time, not whenever somebody might be hosting. So we think all recreational opportunities, play opportunities should be inclusive for everybody always.
It's such an incredibly simple idea, right?
Yeah, right.
But like many simple ideas that resonate with people, incredibly challenging and difficult to accomplish. And I was struck by the fact that Moss Universal Park is the first of its kind in the country.
Yeah.
Just shocking, right?
Right. Absolutely. As far as we can tell, you know, the response that we usually get is, we have an inclusive park in our community, or an inclusive playground, I should say. And I said, that's right. You may, and that's great, but it's an inclusive playground and every playground is in a park. And so why are we limiting that opportunity for everybody to play everywhere?
And that's such access and the equity behind access. That matters, right? And people feeling that they have a sense of place in every place. Again, simple idea, but actually pretty revolutionary. So tell everybody a bit about Moss Universal Park. And I also want to hear, if you can, you worked really hard to get the funding to make this a reality. And I don't want to leave our discussion without telling people how they can contribute and get involved with the Ability Center. So let's start with what can people expect at Moss Universal Park?
Well, so let's start with one of the words you used earlier, which was access, right? We're really used to that word of access and accessibility. And we think that because the Americans with Disabilities Act passed over 30 years ago, that everything is quote unquote accessible. Often true, right? But it doesn't necessarily mean it's the same door, right? It doesn't necessarily mean I have to have an opportunity in that entire space. It essentially says, hey, you're welcome to come in our doors and you're welcome to use our bathroom. And we might have a couple tables for you, or we might have a couple of things for you to do, but access is not opportunity. And I think that's one of the biggest keys that we're missing, right? There is not an equitable opportunities for individuals or families or friends of all abilities to often play together or be included together in the same number of opportunities that the able-bodied, you know, consumer, if you will, in said space or location that they have. So I think it's really important for people to understand that, for starters, access is not opportunity. And what the Ability Center is always trying to do is get to that equitable, as you said earlier too, opportunity for people to, again, play or be active. And so, you know, the Ability Center is an organization that first we transformed Milwaukee's Bradford Beach into the country's most accessible beach. And I like to go bigger. I like to go better. I like to, you know, envision beyond. And that's when I realized, you know, so many of us realized, not just me, but so many of us realized in the pandemic, if you will, which none of us like to continue to talk about, but the best place or safest place to be, or the place we all rediscovered, was the outdoors.
Yep.
We all discovered parks in some way. And as I was discovering those, now mind you, I have two metal knees from childhood bone cancer, recently had my 28th knee replacement and revision. Someday probably won't have legs at all. That's another part of the story. But as I was accessing parks with my family in the way that I could, I started realizing I have a lot of wheelchair basketball teammates and friends that can't, that wouldn't be able to access those parks. And I thought to myself, we continue to isolate a population that's already been isolated. And then I said, well, if I come to a playground and get to play, where do I get to continue outside of the playground? And that's when it really struck me to say, you know, again, inclusive playgrounds are great, but if every playground is in a park, why can't I access the entirety? So we tackled that, and we are tackling that at what was once known as Wisconsin Avenue Park, which is really close to the zoo. We chose something close to the zoo interchange, close to where people already like to visit in Milwaukee County, so that you can make a whole day or more of this opportunity. And also, again, an opportunity that's worthy of not just a quick visit to a playground, but a visit to an 18-acre park that's universally inclusive for anybody.
And you've got inclusivity and opportunity equity that's showing up for folks that are neurodivergent, that have a disability. Tell us a little bit about those different amenities so folks know what promise they have in store for them.
Well, I think it's I mentioned my physical disability, but understand where that comes from, right? Childhood cancer showed me the gamut of abilities, right? The spectrum of abilities. So I had friends who had brain tumors, you know, who had amputations, who had paralysis. The brain tumors were caused things like balance issues or intellectual issues or developmental issues. So can the treatment. So really, I grew up since I was 13 years old, seeing that at both the Camp for Kids with Cancer and myself with my peers. And thought, again, we all need that greater opportunity and that access. I also have a niece and nephew on the autism spectrum. So we've got a pretty unique lens, and I have a pretty unique 30-year plus life experience that has seen, again, all that really significant spectrum of abilities. So we can't just think ramps. We have to think sensory issues, right? And some of those sensory issues could be, you know, for invisible disabilities as well, right? We can talk about PTSD. We can talk about mental health. We can go down the spectrum. But what we already know is that parks are good for our physical and our mental health. We already know nature is good for our physical and mental health. But if you can't access it, you know, I have a colleague here at the Ability Center who said, you know, the trees are great and everybody wants to see them. And Milwaukee County loves their, you know, historic oaks, But if I can't get to that tree, does that tree exist?
Right.
And so we're saying, how about give a pathway so that everybody can hug a tree, as I like to say. That's the kind of thing. So from pathways to what I call a sensory escape to a universal baseball field and sports field, you know, to outdoor fitness, to playgrounds. I mean, we have 18 acres to work with here, which is really unique. But we think everybody should be able to access the park really from A to Z, from, you know, north to south, from east to west, through the entire 18 acres of this park.
It is truly transformative. And I'm going to take the language check, Damien, and, yeah, and reframe how I talk about these things from access and equity of access to equity of full, the full panoply, if you will, of opportunities to engage with everything that a public, I'm air quoting here for everybody, yes, that's just listening, a public park may have to offer. Truly amazing. How can people get involved with the Ability Center if they want to donate, if they want to see what other resources the Ability Center has to offer? Where do they go?
Yeah, just universalpark.org is a place to go, a place where you can see more about the park. It takes you really just to our primary website. You can see the other programs and things that we offer and that we're doing, an opportunity to make a contribution. So I think it's really important to understand, again, I'm a big thinker, big visionary. I believe in big possibility. My mom, when I was re-diagnosed with childhood cancer at 14, was basically told to take me home and let me pass. Nobody expected me to see my 15th or 16th birthday, yet alone I'm pushing towards 46, right? So I don't want to stop at this park. We want this to be a transformative opportunity that recreates parks across the country. The ways that they're developed, the ways that we think about them. I mean, every park at the end of the day is multi-generational. That's one of the things we like to point out too. I'm a dad with a limitation. I want to play with my three boys. My boys want to play with me. Every kid, we think about parks for kids, but every kid that comes to a park always looks back at the adults who brought them, right? Hey, grandma, hey, grandpa, look what I can do. Well, grandma and grandpa should be able to get in the giggles. They should be able to get in the play. They shouldn't have to sit on the bench and watch from below. And so, you know, that's, again, the thought process of inclusion. It's another really important word. If we want to be inclusive, well, then we've got to create things that are fun, that are dangerous, that are adventurous, that able-bodied kids want to play on right along with their disabled peers, and that, you know, kids want to play on with a dad who can access it, et cetera. So that's what true inclusion is. Some of the playgrounds these days, unfortunately, that are inclusive playgrounds, they lack those elements of danger. They lack those elements of adventure and fear. And so your able-bodied kid is like done in 60 seconds and they're gone. So did we really create inclusion? We created access. We created some kind of opportunity, but we didn't really create the inclusion that we all really want.
Which I think in many cases can reinforce all kinds of challenging biases that people have about the role and frankly, our mindset as a culture that should be about belonging and inclusion. I love the construction. You know, diversity is getting the invitation to the party,
yeah,
right? Equity is maybe, you know, the music and somebody asks you, or inclusion and somebody asks you to dance, but belonging's when you're the one that's doing the dancing all on your own and inviting other people to dance because it feels like it's your place just as much as anybody else's. That's really when we start to recognize all of the commonalities that we have. The other thing that really stood out to me, Damien, was you used a term about being a temporarily able-bodied person. And that really struck me because that is an incredibly humbling mind framework that I think can teach us so much about not just how we interact and opportunities that should be equitable for folks that are differently abled, but our approach to so many of the core questions of our time, that if you approach it from a place of humility and what would I hope for myself,
right,
if I were there, it leads you to a different place.
Yeah. So the reality is this is the one minority demographic we can all belong to at any given time. This is what we talk about. So TABS, or temporarily able-bodied, it stands for, is the one demographic we all belong to. So whether it's disease or whether it's an accident or whether it's the aging process, it's completely inescapable that you're going to need greater access for more opportunity in your future. I learned that at 13, but I'm sure any of your audience listening, 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, it's like, raise your hand if you feel the same way you did in your 20s, 30s, and 40s. The reality is you didn't. But psychologically, you still want to do the things you physically loved once upon a time. And again, there's reasons we use such intentional language like universal. It's universal park because we're thinking about everybody that will come through here, everybody in a community, and anybody at any ability you're found at any given time in your life. Maybe you're just temporarily, literally disabled or on crutches. You can still play at this park. That's a big deal. No one will be sidelined in Universal Park, and that's the ultimate goal. That's what community really looks like.
Heck yeah, I say. What a great holiday message. Damien, I am so appreciative of your time. You can go check it out, universalpark.org, right? Did I get that right?
That's right, universalpark.org. We're about 50% of our fundraising goal, and we could certainly and would welcome more contributions to make this possible, not just here, but so we can build the next one in your community.
So crack open those wallets as well as your hearts this holiday season. Give to the Ability Center. Thank you, Damien, for making our community more universally opportunistic for everybody. I love it. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. It is my honor and pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, Maggie.
Heck yeah, we'll do it again in the new year. Can't talk about this stuff enough. Happy holidays, everybody. Come back with me after these important messages. We're going to round out the, you know, hypocrisy problem. Thanks again, Damien.
Yeah, thank you. God, is it hard to be loved?
Ain't that a line for the day? Darkness has a call that is insatiable, and lightness is a sound that's hard to hear. Yeah, except on this show, we're all lightness. At least that's what we aim to be. Today, we are listening to all songs and recordings by lesbian recording artists in keeping with our tradition of female artists. Except, of course, when we have on Al Petrelli from the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, in which case we play TSO.
Honorary woman. Al's earned it, I think.
Yeah, he would be down for that, I think.
Yeah.
My thanks to my guest, Damien Buckman. Wonderful organization, the Ability Center. Wonderful park. I'll be going there certainly when the weather turns a wee bit warmer for the park enjoyment. I've been talking about basically religious and sexual hypocrisy, tons of it in the GOP. And I want to point this out. Democrats are not trying to prevent people from engaging in their own rational inquiry. They're not trying to prevent people from free thinking, from experiencing different perspectives. In fact, that is what I would argue Democrats actually want to try to support. That means you don't get to sort of selectively pick and choose. It also means you don't bring religion into public schools. Now, again, yes, we have a voucher problem. I still find that to be an abhorrent Supreme Court decision that tax dollars pay for religiously based education, but that's not the topic of today, and I have already addressed that ad nauseum. That's the point. We're not the ones that want to ban the books. Like, put whatever books educational professionals think have educational value in the school libraries. You don't teach people how to think by telling them what to think. I'm going to say that again. You don't teach people how to think by telling them what to think. You encourage people to seek, to use their good brains, to not just accept what folks are telling them, including me. I mean, Google it. If you don't if I say something, well, that sounds weird, Google it. Let's learn together. One of my favorite callers on the line, Mark from the SAC, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. Hello, my friend.
Hello, yeah, and this time of year always turns me back to A Christmas Carol, which my mother always read to us when we were children. And what I get a kick out of it, it just crystallizes in my head, you know, the hypocrisy of this, the hypocrisy of the people that are Donald Trump was just saying, we can say Merry Christmas again. And in keeping with that, you know, the Christmas time is, pretty, you know, quote Scrooge's nephew, a good time, a kind, a forgiving, charitable, pleasant time. The only time I know of in the long calendar of the year when men and women seem to, by one consent, open their hearts, their shut-up hearts freely, and to think of other people below them as really as if they were fellow passengers to the grave, and not another race of creatures bound on other journeys. It just seems that, for them to say that we, you know, we all did, you know, that putting aside the fact that Merry Christmas, you know, leaves out the other people of religious faith. So happy holy day, happy holidays, happy holy days to all. But I mean that just the Trump is choosing this time of year, and others as well, to spew this hatred out there is just kind of at best ironic, and embracing the child that Dickens warned us against is the boy, and with the ignorance upon his, you know, ignorance was his name, and doom is his, the people that don't recognize that.
Yep. If I can summarize what Mark was saying, is that deeply rooted within the brand of religiosity coming from the right, which is Christian nationalist in its origin, is the contradiction with the fundamental tenets of Christianity, right? It seems very odd that at a time when there should be openness in one's heart, if you are a Christian, that this kind of vitriol and hatred and separation and exclusion gets spewed. That ain't our way. And again, I dispute that we are a Christian nation or that our nation should be affiliated with any sort of religious beliefs, because that was not the point. And so, again, it's just, it leaves me with such pause. And again, you don't have to take my word for it. You can take, you know, if you happen to be a Christian, you can take the Pope's word for it. I mean, here he is. I'll just do the quick chronology. This is back in October of 2020. Voiced support for same-sex civil unions. He doubled down on that in June 2021. August of this year, Pope Francis blasts the, quote, backwardness of some conservatives in the U.S. Catholic Church, saying that they have replaced faith with ideology and that a correct understanding of Catholic doctrine allows for change over time. Quote, doing this, you lose the true tradition and you turn to ideologies to have support. In other words, ideologies replace faith. Does this sound familiar? The vision of doctrine of the church as a monolith is wrong. When you go backward, you make something closed off, disconnected from the roots of the church. I want to remind these people that backwardness is useless, and they must understand that there's a correct evolution in the understanding of questions of faith and morals. Speaker Mike Johnson, yeah, the 18th century ain't where it's at. And today, Pope Francis said that he has now given the okay for Roman Catholic priests to bless same-sex couples. That's the Pope. Meanwhile, Southern Baptists have purged female pastors from their ranks. Meanwhile, Southern Baptists are filing briefs to combat the extension of statute of limitations laws to protect child abusers. At the same time, Methodists are leaving their church in droves because they don't like gay marriage. This is a problem. Oppression doesn't create more love and acceptance and equity of opportunity. Oppression is oppressive. That is not what we stand for here. And if you wanted to know the thing about the Nazi quote, it was in June of this year. The Indiana chapter of the Moms for Liberty. Oops. Maybe quoting Hitler isn't a really good idea on our newsletter entitled The Parent Brigade. Yikes. I'll be back tomorrow, everybody. We'll talk Chevron Doctrine here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Thanks for listening and stay warm out there. Check on your neighbors.